There's a lot of new age benefits, like mental health benefits, commuter benefits, et cetera. And within this category is an upcoming space that we're really excited about, which is in the ICHRA space. So this is a new type of benefit that allows an employer to give a specific amount of funds to specific employees, and they can go into the individual marketplace to purchase health insurance. Any budget left over can be used on other health-related items, like maybe purchasing medicine, maybe purchasing gym, etc.
Welcome to the SMB Tech Innovators Podcast, powered by Gusto. On this show, we explore the intersection of fintech, vertical SaaS, and how software combats the rising complexity of running a business. Our goal is to share stories, advice, and best practices from the leaders and investors behind today's cutting-edge platforms. This episode of the SMB Tech Innovators Podcast is brought to you by Gusto Embedded. Gusto has spent a decade building and testing its payroll, tax filing, and compliance infrastructure, which is available as a robust set of APIs so you can develop custom-tailored payroll solutions. For more information, go to embedded.gusto.com. Here's your host, Brian Bush.
On this episode of the SMB Tech Innovators Podcast, my guest is Jeremy Zhang, co-founder and CEO of Finch, a unified employment API. Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Really excited to be here.
Likewise. And I don't want us to nerd out too much employment data, but I got to say, I'm excited to dive into some of the details on this one, especially coming from Gusto and payroll. But first, for those who may not be familiar, can you give us an overview of who Finch is and especially how your platform is different from other API aggregators in this space?
Yep, definitely. Yeah, and we can go into as much detail as you want in terms of payroll data, employment data. But what Finch is a unified data and payment infrastructure in the employment space. So we allow applications to both read data, and these data points include employee census information, pay statement data, benefit contributions data. But beyond just reading data, we can actually also process payments. And therefore, we allow applications to process payments like writing deductions and contributions, enrolling in benefits, and in the future, also adjusting earnings through our API across the entirety of the employment landscape. I know just like high level describing an infrastructure company, it's hard for some of maybe your listeners to fully understand. So I just want to give a specific example and use case. And a lot of times I love to give the use case of a retirement benefit. And probably your listeners understand a company like Fidelity sells retirement benefits to around 50,000 different employers. And all their employers are on this whole range of systems and sizes. So they might be servicing SMB employers to enterprise employers. The systems might range from the Gustos of the world to ADP to Paychex on the SMB side to Workday, Oracle, SAP on the enterprise side, and everything in between. This ecosystem is extremely fragmented. So Fidelity probably has also employers on this long tail of providers like Alaska's Best Payroll, which you probably have never heard of as well. So as a retirement benefit, Fidelity needs to be able to do three things. The first is being able to pull back detailed census data. So who works at the company, who's joining, who's leaving, so they can provision the benefit as employees join and deprovision as employees leave, and then understanding the benefit eligibility based off that data. That's the first layer. The second layer is they need to be able to understand detailed pay statements. How much are people making? Is it bonuses, tips, commission, or is this base pay? What are people taking in deductions? Is it 401k versus HSA? Those two are the main read functionalities. But beyond that, they have to actually move the money from the employer bank account with the proper taxes filed and fund the retirement account. And how that's done is through payroll deductions and contributions into the rails. So this is a very complex three-layer functionality and very complex just for a single employer, single system, vastly more complex across kind of the ecosystem that I just mentioned. And prior to Finch, what Fidelity would do is cobble together this SFTP manual upload human operations method to be able to build this infrastructure. And with Finch, we've taken care of focusing on building this infrastructure, mainly API-based with connectivity to the underlying ecosystem. And Fidelity does not have to worry about this infrastructure, but just have to think about how do they actually provide better services, better application to their customers. So Finch already services 50,000 employers. You probably do not know that Finch is underneath a lot of times. We're powering your equity management, we're powering your retirement benefits, we're powering your health insurance, and we service now around 5 million employees. So that's a good description of Finch. But I know your second question is, how do we differentiate versus the other segments of maybe aggregators in the space? And there's really two other types of players. The first is more on the employee verification layer. These are players like the Argyles of the world, Pinwheel, Plaid, et cetera. And this is when an individual wants to share their specific data points to players like lenders and mortgages and more. Finch is different because we're employer permission. You as an employer can share access to the entire business. We believe this is the right model given employers are the owners of the data. They're the buyers of Gusto, buyers of benefits, et cetera. And then the second is actually where Gusto Embedded falls in, which is more of the embedded players, which allows companies like Vertical SaaS to actually offer payroll. So these players offer more of the money movement layer and like the tax layer. And Finch is actually building on top of those players.
Mm-hmm. Jeremy, comprehensive overview. And I want to go back to those three things you mentioned. When we talk about employment data, first it was census. Second, it was detailed pay data, and especially what deductions or taxes have already been taken out of a net paycheck. And then three was actually proactively making those deductions, filing taxes, so getting proactive about it. And I want to take those three themes and understand how, and maybe in a little bit more detail, how they might show up in this case, particularly for small businesses, maybe for big businesses, but as well. But when the data is fragmented across those different applications, the mirror image of, hey, Fidelity is a problem because they need to suck all that data from the hundreds, tens of thousands of employers that they serve. For that single employer, how does this fragmentation show up as a pain point for them?
Yeah. So fragmentation, as you mentioned, is like definitely one of the issues. The other issue is actually just this is a sector that lacks data connectivity. This is what I mentioned for like sending SFTP back and forth, like using human operations. And when we kind of size the operational cost the industry incurs, it's around $7 to $8 billion in terms of human operations work, try to manually pass this sort of employment data back and forth. And this causes really several problems, both for the business and also specifically for the employees. We did some research on the business side. What we found is that 64% of HR admins spend around 4 to 9 hours a week just manually entering in this data. And that is leading to the $7 to $8 billion of operations cost. And then around 60% of HR professionals mention that their team finds inaccuracies at least once a week in this data, which then ties into around $7 billion in payroll-related penalties on an annual basis. So there's a lot of errors that's happening in this space due to the fact of the fragmentation and in terms of just sending file-based data. That's on the business side. On the employee side, as you can imagine, this is very sensitive information. It has your PII information, your social security number, how much you're making, and more. And this information, a lot of times, is sent just via a CSV file, via email. You have no idea who has access to this information. And maybe a quick fact is in 2017, Equifax actually had a data breach on this exact set of data that ended in a $700 million settlement. And that just shows you like the importance of this information and why it should be sent in a secure fashion.
That makes a ton of sense. And speaking from a payroll lens, I think we understand how critical it is when somebody's paycheck is wrong or they don't get paid on time. And I think it's easy to understand how that extends to all of their employment data, whether it's benefits, whether it's, hey, I need to pay for medical supplies with my HSA, whatever it is. You know, there's an aspect of this that is data security, and there's an aspect of this that is compliance. That, and so maybe to give us just a little bit under the hood, where is Finch primarily trying to be, I hate the word, but the pipes, like where are we trying to just connect data versus where are we providing additional services that really help make sure, oh, we are staying, or the folks using Finch are staying compliant with, say, changes or updates to regulations that regard employment data?
Yep. So like to answer that question, one thing I like to talk, especially within our company, is like the difference between like building primitives versus building business logic. When we first started, we focused on building primitives, which means like, how do we build connectivity? What is like the base functionality within payroll, within benefits, within HR, and then really exposing that across any application in a standardized fashion. So that kind of ties to what you mentioned in terms of, hey, we're providing access that previously applications in this ecosystem would not have had that access to. But we didn't want to conflate that with like building business logic on top of the initial primitive. And that is tied to maybe more specific use cases. For example, in the retirement space, there's certain types of compliance. You have to understand if a plan is a safe harbor plan versus just a generic 401k plan. By understanding all the use cases that are built on top of Finch, we can then know that in this specific sector, they're rebuilding some parts of the infrastructure on top of us, maybe doing some compliance checks. And then we can understand, hey, let's in-house that on the infrastructure layer so that we can provide this business, new business logic layer to that set of customers. So that's how we think about our infrastructure. We start off with the primitives in the sector, and this allows access. And then once we learn about more specific use cases and compliance within each, we can build additional modules on top of the primitives.
So maybe I want to translate that just a little bit. And I think what I'm hearing you say is the primitives are how you connect to these different data models. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually going back to, you mentioned, hey, it can be a half a day or a day of a business admin's time each week just to manually key this data. And so that's just a person trying to do the connectivity function. Maybe the question is, have you all decided, hey, here is a canonical model of what employment data should look like? Yep. Or, you know, is it like, how much of the challenge is the fact that Fidelity versus Prudential versus any other sort of benefits provider, they just have their own unique model. There aren't standards that folks have agreed upon, versus how much of the challenge is the fact that, I don't know, let's call it the compliance. I just making sure that it is accurate, complies with laws, like less on the connectivity side, but more on, I think what you're saying is the business logic side.
Yep. Yeah, I think it's both, because you need that level of standardization to be able to do the compliance, like error handling on a single layer versus every single time you're making a connection or getting that data from the employer. So that is one of the main features of Finch, which is we are creating this centralized standard exchange layer within the ecosystem that didn't exist. And previously, you had this one-off connection between an application and employer, an application and a payroll or employment system. And now we're able to build that compliance layer in a single point within the infrastructure rather than having it dispersed across the ecosystem.
Okay. I don't know if this is an answerable question, but I kind of want to ask why. And what I mean is, why is this data ecosystem quite so fragmented? It feels like we are lagging behind. I don't know if it's a perfect analogy, but from, you know, my non-expert take is that the payments world has created a few more standards and a few more protocols that allow, there's just not quite so much fragmentation. I mean, cross-border stuff, I think, gets a little bit different. But a lot of these legacy systems lack APIs. You mentioned some of the file transfer protocols, things like that. Like, why does this gap persist? Yep. And why aren't folks moving towards more modern API technologies as quickly as maybe we would hope they would?
Yeah, this was definitely something we were extremely surprised by when we entered the sector. And even for context, my co-founder invested in Plaid back at Kleiner Perkins. So he really saw that transition within the financial services sector. We believe that most of these fragmented industry are moving towards an API connected standardized model. When we first came into the employment sector, that was not the case. We believe it's mainly two reasons. The first is, as you mentioned, the fragmentation. The fragmentation comes from the fact that prior to cloud-based SaaS employment tools, this was more of like a regional and local service. in terms of payroll, in terms of retirement, health insurance. You still see that in a lot of the sectors, right? Retirement, there's very regional TPAs and record keepers, same with health insurance, even payroll, some accountants are running payroll manually. So that is why there's so much fragmentation. We do believe there will be more consolidation within the sector. But due to the fragmentation, given there's around 6,000 different payroll companies in the US, it becomes almost a game of chicken in terms of creating a standard. If ADP puts out a standard, Gusto and Paychex probably do not want to adopt an ADP standard. You want to make sure there's a third-party neutral standard that is working across the whole ecosystem and pushing for the adoption of the standard across the ecosystem. And that's exactly what Finch is currently doing. Secondly, is in terms of regulation. When we look at the banking sector in terms of open banking, that was the regulatory change that was pushing the industry more towards an API standardized approach. We are now slowly starting to see that within the employment sector. And I have two very specific examples. The first, in the retirement sector, there's a recent Secure Act 2.0, which basically said every single employee that joins must be auto-enrolled into the retirement benefit. And that previously is not really possible if you're sending files back and forth on a monthly basis. You need that level of API live connectivity to make sure that you are able to adhere to the Secure Act 2.0. And that is coming into effect actually in 2025, which means that we're seeing a lot of adoption, especially in the retirement sector. The second piece of regulation or kind of government push that we've seen is actually very recently in terms of a recent employment data. This was several months ago where we actually had a very large downward revision in terms of employment data and jobs data. And that actually pushed government to realize that maybe they don't have the perfect information on employment data because they're collecting this information via paper surveys and via a small sampling of employers, which is actually pushing them to look for better ways to collect live data to be able to help them understand the economy.
Okay. Now, I'm curious, Jeremy, you mentioned your co-founder and the investment in Plaid. When you both got together and started thinking about ideas that eventually became Finch, it sounds like, I want to detour just a little bit in briefly into your founding story. How maybe was employment data or was this problem at all on your radar? It sounds like you were sort of like, hey, the API aggregation or the data aggregation play, the connectivity play, like there's a great analog in Plaid. How much were you thinking about employment specific data as an analog for that problem?
Yeah. I'll answer that question with also a little bit of my background. So I come from a product engineering side. In my previous role, we were building very similar infrastructure in the automotive sector. What that means is there's all types of makes and models of vehicles on the road connected to the internet. And at my previous company, we built a standard communication protocol to retrieve data from physical vehicles and also send commands to physical vehicles. And I started as engineer number two, became the head of product of that company. So really understood this specific middleware infrastructure product from both a engineering and product side, but also thinking about how it could impact innovation within that specific sector. So that was my background. And again, as I mentioned, Ansel came from the investor side where he was able to invest in Plaid. We are not experts in the employment sector when we first got into the space. It's not like we worked at Gusto or Zenefits or any of these employment company. How we actually understood the problem within the employment space was prior to COVID, we were building an embedded lending infrastructure. And what that meant was we wanted to issue new credit models and also connecting it to a source of funding. And once COVID hit, no one wanted to issue any new credit. Everything was in flux. So most of our customers actually left, except a very small group that wanted to issue PPP loans, which is the Paycheck Protection Program during COVID. So during that time, we wanted to do as much as possible to help out the general situation around the world. We realized to verify PPP loans, we need to get access to employment data. Are employers letting people go? Are they retaining employees, decreasing compensation, et cetera? So we started talking with all the payroll providers. The first one was actually Gusto. So me and Matt Smallwood had a very early conversation back in 2019. And we had talked to ADP, Paychex, et cetera, and just quickly realized that this is very similar to my previous experience in the automotive side, my co-founder's previous experience on the financial services side. Paycheck Protection Program is a very small use case. There's tens and hundreds of types of use cases that can be built on top of this employment data. There could be a lot of innovation. We were experts in building this layer, and then we, you know, learned more about the employment sector as we built the company.
Yep. Well, thank you for sharing. I always love digging into some of those details of those stories. And I think, not to torture the Plaid sort of metaphor, but I feel like this type of connectivity layer, when done really well, can create some network effects. And I think you're seeing some of that with Plaid. We talked about, call it the benefit provider, the Fidelity example you gave in some of these. Thrilled to hear that some of these new regulations are going to kick this thing into gear just a little bit on that side of the network. Let's talk about the other side, the folks building technology for that small business customer in this case. You just mentioned, hey, there's a lot of innovation that can come on that side of the network once you have a unified data model or connectivity layer. So maybe share a few examples of folks on that side of the network who are building on Finch, where you see that they're doing something that's both really innovative, but also really impactful for their employees or that employee ecosystem.
Yep. So maybe I'll first go broad and just talk about all the types of use cases and applications built, and maybe a specific category that I've been really excited about. So from a broad basis, we first offer three specific API products, and there's different use cases building on top of each. The first is the organization data. So pulling back basic directory census data. And the customers here are more of the general HR tech. So these include companies in the security and compliance space. For example, some of the SOC 2 players. These are companies that needs to verify your benefit eligibility, maybe provision new applications as employees join or leave a company. So that's our organization product. Our pay product is pulling back detailed pay statements. And this service is more of the fintech, specifically B2B fintech space. So we have a lot of workers' compensation companies built on top of Finch, general liability insurance. There's also business lending, business taxes like R&D tax credits, and also just general employee compensation companies and equity management companies like Carta building on top of us. And then the third product we have is our deductions product, writing deductions and contributions into the payroll rails. This opens up the larger benefits sector. The two large portions of it is retirement and health insurance. And these are a lot of the times these legacy players like Fidelity, as I mentioned. But there's a lot of new age benefits like mental health benefits, commuter benefits, et cetera. And within this category is actually an up and coming space that we're really excited about, which is actually in the ICHRA space. So this is a new type of benefit that allows an employer to give a specific amount of funds to specific employees, and they can actually go into the individual marketplace to purchase health insurance. Any budget left over can be used on other health related items, like maybe purchasing medicine, maybe purchasing gym, et cetera. We're seeing a lot of movement within the ICHRA sector. There's been a lot of funding within the ICHRA sector as well. And actually most of those players, I think almost 100% of those players are built on top of Finch. And without Finch, I don't believe they could have gone to market with so many employers as quickly.
Yeah. So for these folks who are building on top of Finch, I want to get to what you think they expect or should be looking for, I'll say in an embedded partner generally, but especially around employment data. Let's put our product hat on for just a second. How do you help a partner or a customer's developers make the most of the data you offer and generally the platform and solution that Finch offers?
Yep. Yeah. So this is where almost like an API embedded product is a little bit different than just selling general SaaS products, because when you sign the contract, this is when the relationship starts. A lot of times the initial deal is a very small portion of the potential size of the contract and size of the relationship that you can have with a customer, which means that Finch and probably most API companies and is investing a lot on the post-sale side. So for us, what that means is we have a very defined implementation process. We have an implementation engineering team. This engineering team really understands the use cases as well. So a retirement company going to market is very different than a health insurance company. Even the terminologies are different, right? Retirement calls employer sponsors. Health insurance calls employees' lives. So we want to make sure we are actually speaking to the customer. After the implementation is completed, we then also have a developer success team that is really working directly with our customers to go to market with their employers. That includes technical guidance on just our API, but also best practices in terms of how to talk about Finch, how to talk about the value of the product, how they even think about pricing their own product to the employers. And we believe that if our customers are successful, given that we're in infrastructure, Finch will also be successful.
Yep. I don't want to keep you all day. So I want to start, you mentioned a couple examples of use cases, or let's call them generally innovations around employment data that you find really exciting, the individual marketplace. And you'll have to remind me if that was ICRA with an I or NICRA with an N.
ICRA with an I.
Yep. ICRA with an I. Thank you. What else is Finch looking forward to? Coming innovations, new products, things, new use cases that get you excited?
I'll tie this back to one of the other points, like more of the regulation point and working with the government that we've mentioned. As you can imagine, as we connect more and more employers, more and more employees, we have this big network of employers and employees connected to our infrastructure. We're able to see the general trends of employment across this ecosystem. And given the fragmentation of this ecosystem, no individual player actually is able to see 100%. Gusto, I think, has around 5 to 6% of employers right now, but not 100%. And it's probably very difficult for any individual players to ever get to 100%. But Finch potentially will be able to see 100% of employee records across this ecosystem. So what we have been already doing is working with the government, specifically with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, to be able to create a standard for the government to understand employment trends and job data so that they can decide on what to do with a potential economy given that. So given the importance of the employment data, there's a lot of work that Finch can do with the government.
Okay. Fascinating use case where you have a standard and you have a lot of connectivity. Interesting to see some of those next level government reporting sort of use cases. Maybe, Jeremy, before we let you go, you all have raised at least $70 million to pursue this vision. Obviously, incredible traction. You've talked about 50,000 employers. I think it's something like 5 million employees are connected via the platform. I imagine you get asked for advice from other startup founders, fintech, API, embedded products all the time. What's one piece of advice that you think is particularly relevant for folks who are starting or launching new businesses today?
Yeah. So I'm a first-time founder. So I think the advice for first-time founders is a little bit different than the advice for second-time or third-time founders. So for us, it's really about how do we build conviction on the direction or on the product or on the idea that you're pursuing, which really ties into having a strong founder market fit. And I know I talked about some of our experiences, but prior to Finch, we actually built 5 different products across various sectors. The last one prior to Finch was the lending infrastructure. Those were all very exciting products and probably would have been great businesses. But a lot of times we couldn't explain to ourselves why we are like the best founders to build that specific business or product. And that's very important to convince yourself, but also convince investors, convince employees, the general ecosystem. And any idea that you can think of, there's probably several companies building it. Mm-hmm. So it's also important to know, like, why are you going to be the winner, especially from a team standpoint? What really clicked for us at Finch was it was a very clear founder market fit, not on the industry, but on kind of this middleware infrastructure layer from my experience and from Ansel's experience, where we were able to avoid a lot of potholes from previous companies and really execute towards our vision.
Yeah. So domain expertise and some founder market fit were a couple, kind of those two pieces had to come together. And that's where you found some conviction that you two as a team and ultimately as Finch grew could pursue something unique in this space.
Exactly.
Jeremy, I love it. Thank you so much for taking the time today, for nerding out a little bit on employment data, but for really, I think you did a great job of saying, hey, here's why sort of the situation or the problem is what it is, but here's how it bubbles up. Here's the impact. And that, as we said, shows up for employers, it shows up for the benefits providers, and ultimately it shows up for the federal government in terms of how they report and have to make messy revisions to some of this data. So again, thank you. Before we wrap up, if listeners want to go deeper, want to reach out, want to understand more about Finch as a platform, or they're thinking about ideas in the space, are there places that they can reach out to you to connect and ask more questions?
Yep. So our website is trifinch.com. You can reach out to me at founders@trifinch.com, and you can find me on LinkedIn and Twitter as well. We love to support any innovators in this space. So our product is fully self-serve. You can get started, look at our API docs, and we see a lot of companies start off on Finch in that manner.
I love it. We will make sure to link to some of those in the show notes. For now, Jeremy, thank you again for taking the time today. We appreciate it.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thanks again for tuning into this episode of the SMB Tech Innovators Podcast. We'll make sure to link to any resources that were mentioned in today's show in the show notes. Please also feel free to leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcast, or to connect with the Gusto Embedded team via LinkedIn. In particular, we'd love to hear any future guests you'd like us to have on the show. Thanks again for listening, and keep a lookout for the next episode.